everyone, and welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdict's Inn. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Gary.
And today we are talking about Fear of the Walking Dead, Season 2, Episode 5, entitled Captive.
Good episode.
It was written by Carla Ching, who has done Graceland and just Fear of the Walking Dead. She didn't have a big resume. And it was directed by Craig Zisk, who has worked on Agent Carter, The Good Wife, and Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Okay, that's cool. And it doesn't matter if she didn't have a big resume. She did a very good job this episode.
Very good job. It was very well written. So here we are. We don't do an instant cast anymore, but we are very excited to be back for this episode for our full recap.
Right.
What did you think of the episode, Gary?
I thought it was a good episode. I'm loving the storyline very much. I'm seeing it developed, and this is going to be good within itself. It's like I'm no longer comparing it to The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Because it's starting to be in a league all of its own.
I would agree with you. I actually kind of separated the two. Like, when I watched it, I never once thought of The Walking Dead when I was watching it this episode.
Right.
That can be considered a good thing where, like you said, it's a league of its own, or it's because the show was so different. I don't even think of the two anymore as the same.
Yeah, we no longer compare.
All right. So the way the podcast works is we discuss our likes, our dislikes, and then if we have any listeners, we do that. And then we have an award and a prediction at the end. We had a lot of likes this week, so that's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
A small like I liked is the pregnant girl when Alicia was eating her food and she, like, comes and takes a bite out of it. I thought that was just kind of funny.
Yeah, that's crazy. She took the whole plate.
Yeah. Oh, she took the whole plate?
Yeah, she took a bite and then she took the whole plate.
Funny.
But I mean, you can't be mad at her. She is pregnant.
She's pregnant. She's hungry.
So she get away with that bullshit.
Right. Something only a pregnant girl can do.
Right. I wasn't mad at her. I mean, it was, that steak looked good.
It did. That's why I was like, why is Alicia acting like she don't want it? I'm sitting here hungry right now and watching it.
But you saw when she took a bite, that look on her face was like, wow.
Wow, right, right.
It looked all juicy and moist.
They might need to keep Connor around just so he can cook for them.
Right.
All right, so when Daniel was cleaning up Reed and helping him out, trying to, you know, help him out, Reed's sitting there talking his shit, and he was telling him how scary he is.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know, but I love when Daniel was like, scary men never say how frightening they are. Like, if you're scary, right. You're going to be scary on your own.
Yeah, Reed was giving him a whole dialogue.
Right.
Like, he had this planned out.
Wait till I show you how scary I really am.
If I get captured, this is what I'm going to say.
Yeah, like, he had it already, he already wrote it down. Like, this is what I'm going to say if I ever get captured.
Well, maybe that would work on the average person. Well, I guess not, because you see, Chris wasn't scared either.
Yeah, but Chris, later on, when Daniel, he's like, you're going to let him talk to you that way? I don't think Chris was necessarily scared, but he believed what Reed was saying.
I guess so. I got out of it that, are you going to let him disrespect us like that?
Okay. Well, because then Daniel was like, he's just scared. And then Chris is like, he doesn't seem scared.
Yeah, he said that.
So I think it could work on the average, you know, person. But we know Daniel has that serious background.
Yeah.
That you just don't want to mess with. And he's not going to scare easily.
Right. And I can't wait to see a flashback.
If we get one.
Hopefully we get one. We need one.
I would love a flashback of Daniel. Long before, like, maybe before his daughter was born, Ophelia, like, just showing him in the military and doing whatever it was that he did.
Just torturing people or whatever.
Right. And seeing how it made him the man he is today.
Right.
And another part that I liked about Daniel in this scene is that as Reed talked more and more and more, Daniel just got more and more information.
Right.
He found out that Connor's Reed's brother, and they're also going to be needing to look for fishing boats. That's where they are.
Yeah, Daniel lured him. He lured him to a trap, let him say everything he was going to say, and Daniel just listened, act like he was just touching up the little wound.
Right.
But I wonder when he put the pressure on it. Remember when
I think he did that as in like a shut up, you're talking too much shit here, just shut up.
Well, it looked like he wanted him to talk. So do you think it was like a technique that he used to get him to say a little more? Like at the end, he said, when my brother cut me free, I'm more dangerous to him.
Right.
But he said that after Daniel put the pressure. So maybe it was a technique to get him to talk a little more.
Okay, like, oh, if I push this a little harder, he's going to get mad. When he gets mad, he'll talk a little more.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a possibility. And now I'm looking at our list of likes, and a lot of it is focusing on Daniel, so it was a highly big Daniel episode.
Man, Daniel was badass.
He was badass. And he's, like, badass, but on the low.
Yeah, he's mellow.
Yeah, very mellow.
He's a professional.
Yeah, he is. Because next, he was professionally listening to Luis tell Strand how he only has money for two people.
Right. And I don't understand why they talked in Spanish, knowing Daniel's right there.
Right. Like, okay, Daniel doesn't know Spanish. But I think they kind of forgot because I think Madison was in the room at the time, so they were more focused on her. But I want to know who's taking money at this point. Like, what does money have to do with anything? Like, do people not realize that shit has gone crazy?
Well, it could be the Mexican border control. They probably taking money. Right now, it's still fresh. It's still new. Well, it's not new, but it's new. So people still think money is valuable. Because if they know any better, they take as many people they could get to help fight this.
Well, not only that, how do they know those people are still in place? It's been a few weeks. Yes, maybe week one when this was all going on, people were still taking money. But could people really still be taking money at this point?
Well, he was still using the walkie-talkie until it fell in the water.
All right.
So he must know something. He must know that it's still in play as of before he dropped the walkie-talkie.
And then what are they going to do? If they really think the money's important, they're going to turn down all of them instead of getting, okay, here's the money for two people, but we need to take all these people with us. They're going to say no and turn down, if they think money's important, they're going to turn down everyone.
I'm pretty sure they will.
So these people, to me, seem like they could be dangerous, whoever they're going to pay. Because if they're willing to take money right now, like, their priorities are really messed up.
Well, they don't know their priorities are messed up. No one knows what this is yet. I mean, this is old for us, but this is new for them.
True.
And then if everything goes right, if they find a cure, then whoever the border control is, they're rich. They're like, yeah, we let all these people in. We got this money. We're rich.
If everything goes back to normal.
If everything goes back to normal.
All right.
If it don't, then their money don't mean shit.
Right. Well, Daniel telling Madison the kids aren't kids anymore. And I don't know if we discussed it before, but I'm glad he's letting Madison know. Like, she keeps telling Nick, especially Nick. Nick is definitely not a kid.
He's not.
You know, she's babying these kids. Hey, can't go this place, can't go that place. And I'm like, Carl is much younger than them. So that is a Walking Dead reference. And he's doing, he's killing his first people when he was like 9.
You know, parents are always going to be overprotective.
That's true.
I mean, anytime you go out of town, our mother still say, hey, be careful. Call me when you get here.
Right.
Call me when you get there.
That's true.
Call me if you make a stop.
All right. I did like the fact that Daniel was like, dude, you can't baby them anymore. We all need to pull our weight around here. We all are adults at this point, because if we treat them like kids, then we're going to be so busy looking out for them as kids rather than using them as help and as a resource.
Yeah. Well, that was Strand who told Maddie they're not kids anymore. That I knew he wasn't a kid in like the first 5 minutes I met him and he was going through withdrawals.
No, he said, I knew his potential within the first 5 minutes.
Right.
But if Strand said they're not kids anymore, I'm so sure that Daniel also said that to Madison. But what we can always watch later. But either way, someone told Madison they're not kids anymore.
Right.
Alicia stealing Jack's knife was pretty cool.
It was cool, but it was a little too easy for me.
Not to mention, she didn't actually use it, did she?
She didn't.
Okay, so maybe that knife will come back up in later episodes. Now she has a little knife on her.
Maybe the writers forgot she had it. They wrote it in there that she take it. And then by the end of the scene, they're like, oh man, you know, this happened.
Right.
We remember she had it, but they didn't.
Or maybe she'll actually finally use it when they get to Border Patrol or wherever it is that they're going.
Well, the thing is, I'm pretty sure they have plenty of weapons on the boat. So if she didn't use it now, then that knife is forgotten.
Okay.
Maybe.
We'll see. It'd be cool if it comes back up. Now, Alicia and Jack, and I still can't tell if Alicia really did start trusting Jack. I can't tell. Like, I know she was playing him in some parts, but some parts it was like, was she actually trusting Jack?
I think so. It's starting to look like teenage love to me. Like, she lost her boyfriend, and this is like the closest thing she have to love now. She's very trustworthy.
Too trustworthy. But at the same time, I couldn't tell for sure. Like, some parts, it was clear that she was playing them.
Well, I'm sorry, not trustworthy. She's too trusting.
Yes.
And Jack could, because Jack is not trustworthy at all.
But some parts, it really did seem like she was playing him. Whereas other parts, it was kind of like when she told Travis, he doesn't want to be here no more than we do. I'm like, what? Like, but once again, she might have just been saying that since he was right there.
I believe her.
And then even when she left him, she's like, sorry. And I was like, what? I don't know. So I just...
You know what? I actually believe Jack also.
Okay.
But the problem is, we've seen what Jack did already.
Yeah. I mean, they were pointing out ships to which ones they were going to take.
Yeah.
That one may get killed. That one may live. That one may get killed. That one may live.
What I loved about the scene of them together is that Jack said, well, this is how you got me. And she said, no, this is how you got me.
Right.
And it's letting you know that Jack is still sort of new at this. So he's not the bad guy that we think he is.
Well, I wonder where he's going to go to now, because it's only him, the pregnant girl, and Alex left on that boat.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think this is the making of a villain. It's always a woman he used to love or he loved a long time ago, he still loved, that makes a villain.
So you think Alicia leaving is going to make him turn full bad?
I think so.
But it's not like she did him dirty. She was just like, sorry. Like, you know, I can't.
She didn't, but she kind of chose them over him. I'm pretty sure at some point she thought she was number one. I mean, he thought he was number one.
Okay. Well, their conversation when they're talking about maybe the world has always been like this, where this person dies and that person dies. I love that conversation. Because Jack is saying, you know, we can eat the right foods, but you can still get a disease.
Right.
You can wear a seatbelt, but you can still get in a car accident and die. And he's like pretty much saying the world has always been any, many, miny, mo as far as safety goes. And that's pretty much how he was comparing to the ships in the sea right now. Like any, many, miny, mo, one may die. It's all on luck, all by chance.
But it seems like that was fed to him. This is the reason he had to do his job.
Oh, okay. Like maybe Connor or Reed put that in his ear.
Yeah, they put that in his head. Like, this is what happens with, you know, it could go either way. Everything he said was more rehearsed than what he really felt.
And I guess if he feels that way, it kind of makes him feel, he won't feel as bad for what he's doing. It's like, it's always been this way. It's not me that's doing it. This is the way of the world. All right.
Because his maturity level, I mean, where do you think it's at?
That's another thing. He looks young adult, maybe late teenagers, early 20s. Maturity-wise, he's like, I don't know, like a little kid to me.
Right.
Like when he talked to Alicia, the way his reasoning behind stuff, he sounds like he's like a little kid.
Right. He still sounds unsure of himself.
Yes.
Speaking of looks, if I was Johnny Depp, I would sue the show.
Why do you say that?
Because it's like they put Johnny Depp picture up before they went casting. Because everybody likes Johnny Depp.
They're obsessed with Johnny Depp.
It's like whoever wrote this show, whoever cast for it is just obsessed.
Okay.
If I was Johnny Depp, I'd be looking at this show pissed off right now.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's always said that Nick looks like Johnny Depp. But you were looking at Jack today. Like, yeah. Jack kind of looks like Johnny Depp too.
Right.
He has that longish hair. He has the old school Johnny Depp.
Right. And if you think about it, even Chris had a little long hair. It's like whoever cast this show had Johnny Depp in mind and said, okay, we're going to find who's in Gilbert Grape. We're going to find not the salt, but what's the other movie he was in?
Chris looks like Alice in Wonderland, Johnny Depp, with the long hair.
It's like Johnny Depp's about to sue. He got a lawsuit on his hand.
They put up Johnny Depp and said, okay, let's get whoever looks similar to him, whoever we can kind of think of.
This is who we're looking for right here.
If you think about it, Alicia kind of looks like the girl version of Johnny Depp. She does. She's super pretty. Like, no shade at all. She's something about her. Like, I get that Johnny Depp vibe as well. Like, that could be his daughter or something.
I mean, let me find out Johnny Depp is a casting.
Johnny Depp is somebody's cousin or something, or is executive producer on this show.
Right.
All right, next on our likes list is Alex. We saw Alex in the previews or in the whole airplane, you know, clips, and then we finally got to meet her, and we loved her, and then they put her away, and then boom, she reappears on the boat.
They brought her back. Now, and we loved it.
Is it too coincidental that she was on the boat, or not really, since they were all in that same area in the water?
No, it wasn't. I mean, they were only like a mile apart, if that.
Okay.
I mean, it seems like they could have been further apart.
I thought she looked very pretty. I love how they had her hair down. I'm like, dang, is she on vacation, or is she like, you know, in the zombie apocalypse? Like, her hair was down. It was all wavy, like she curled it.
Right. But as much as I love to see her, there's a couple of things I didn't like about the scene.
Yes.
Or like about her scenes.
Like about her scenes, yeah. And we'll get to it on our dislikes. We discussed it amongst each other.
Right.
Now, hearing Alex describe how she had to kill that little boy, I think Charlie or whatever that was in the boat with her, also on the plane with her.
Yeah.
It was sad to hear because she got close to him.
Well, I mean, was it sad?
Well, you don't think it was sad?
Man, she killed a well, healthy human being that tried to kill him because he was dying anyway.
Okay.
That dude could have been dead.
Who, the little boy?
Right. If she would have let the other guy kill him, the guy who was killing everybody.
Yeah. So what you're saying is if she would have just let him die, she should have put him out of his misery because it was clear he was going to die. A long
time ago. Yeah.
And then the other guy that she ended up killing, they could have probably been together helping each other out.
Right.
Okay.
Because I don't understand how you could kill a healthy person. Somebody who obviously know that people got to die if they're dying.
Right.
For somebody that's dying.
That is true. That is very much true.
So I don't feel bad for that situation. I feel like maybe it took her a while to realize that, I don't know. I don't know how, I mean, I don't know her mindset about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't get it.
Well, I think she felt she owed that little boy because if we remember from the clips from the airplane, his mom missed that plane and she took that last seat, I believe. So she feels that, hey, I kind of owe him. He would have been able to be with his mom.
I mean, why does she feel guilty? Was she on a buddy pass?
Right.
And she just happened to take the seat?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I wouldn't feel guilty. Or was his mom on the buddy pass? If both of them was on a buddy pass, he should have stayed with his mother.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, why aren't they both? But I know the mom wanted him on the plane because she probably felt wherever they were going was safer. Which it turns out it wasn't because the zombie apocalypse was happening everywhere.
Right.
Now, some of her scenes, as we discussed, we did not like, and we'll get to it during the dislikes. But when she told Travis that Connor said he could use me, and she's like, but people don't use me.
Hmm.
I love that.
Right.
So she's like, she's playing along, like, sure, I'll come on your boat. Like, she just needs to get help. She needs to get to safety.
Yeah.
But she already acknowledged, I'm not here to be used. I'm not going to be his little pawn.
One thing I like about her is she's will adapt for the situation. She seems like she knows what's going on. If we go back to the miniseries, when the dude started coughing, she was already looking like, hold the hell up.
Right.
Like she knew what was going on. Like a cough is not normal right now.
Yeah. Like he had a boiler or something.
It's summertime. Yeah, why are you sneezing and coughing?
Right.
I mean, yeah, it's past allergy season. Man, that's how she was looking.
Yeah, she was real. I mean, I liked her from the moment they showed her back when on the airplane.
Right.
But her saying that she is not going to be used, I love that. I really did.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to know how she's going to meet up again with Travis and them.
Watch, they're going to get on the boat and she's already going to be there.
Well, she does know where they're going. Remember, we watched episode three, and she knows that they're going to buy. I mean, they were saying talking right. All types of stuff in front of her.
And speaking of her, me and Nicole discussed last week on our full recap that it couldn't have been her that knew everybody on the boat.
Yes. And you thought it was you thought Alicia was lying.
I thought Alicia was lying and I was wrong. Alicia wasn't lying. Me and Nicole went back and watched the episode 203.
Yes.
Everybody didn't mention everybody's name around her.
Everybody was name dropping. Everybody's name.
Everybody was just name dropping.
Travis. No, Madison. No, Strand. Chris, what are you doing here? I mean, they were name dropping
everybody.
The whole thing. Then they were talking in plans in front of her. So we're going to go to Baja. Strand has a friend out there. And then they turn and look at her and like, oh, yeah, you can't get on the boat.
Right.
Y'all just told her your whole plan.
You didn't lay out a blueprint for her.
A blueprint for her. So it was like
a little map. Like, take this.
There's safety there. I mean, they said it all right in front of her. So, yeah, it was clear that she did have that information about them.
And that was just so funny to me. Like, why they had to mention a person's name in order to talk to them?
Right.
What are you talking about? Strand?
Yeah. Like, who names people? Who says someone's name that often?
You know what I'm saying, Madison.
Right.
So, yeah, she heard everything.
Yeah.
They said everything. She's the one.
And she says that to Travis, which I will go a little bit further into in the dislike section. The next on the likes list is, of course, our favorite, or one of our favorites, which is Nick.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's...
Johnny Depp number one.
Johnny Depp number one, original Johnny Depp. And he's trying to have that brother to brother conversation with Chris. And he tells him,
Johnny Depp number three.
Because Chris is feeling bad. Like, you know, I should have shot him. I should have shot the girl or something. And he's like, you're not going to shoot a pregnant woman. I wouldn't even shoot a pregnant woman.
Right.
And I love that. Like,
it was.
He's
it was
being a big talk. Brother. Good talk with him.
Yeah.
All right. So Chris killed Reed. And we've been seeing Chris's transformation, you know, go from killing his first walkers to killing a man that was about to die.
Like, Chris is like a serial killer now.
Yeah, like, I'm like, okay.
I can't even trust him.
Chris is hardcore serial killer. Like, he's at that level now. I mean, not yet, but give him another episode or two. He'll be at that level.
I can give it to him.
Okay, he's already there?
He's there.
No, and they were even discussing, did he have to shoot him, or what do you think?
I just know, man. Every time I think about it, I just turn around and look. When I was watching the episode, I'm like, hold up. Is Chris behind me?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he seemed scared. Like, I think he was surprised in himself. But it's just the first steps. Like, to now, okay, I killed that guy last week or a few weeks ago because he was dying and he wanted me to put him out of his misery. Where the same thing could be said about Reed. I mean, we kept saying last week, how did he survive?
Well, on the second watch, I caught his explanation behind it. Like, he was dying anyway. He was going to turn. But what I don't understand is that I'm pretty sure he's familiar with killing. He knows how to take the people out. How did he shoot Reed in the jaw and not in the head? Like, you would think if he killed him, he would kill him correctly.
Okay. Well, maybe he was scared. His hand was shaking. Like, I didn't have a problem with that because I kind of thought it was cool when it was like, oh, shit, he's not really fully dead.
Man, I called bullshit.
Okay.
I called it.
Okay.
He shot this guy in the jaw. We seen Chris. He's a serial killer now. Let's call it what it is. He's a serial killer. He's a zombie serial killer. He knows how to kill. So this was, I don't understand this move or this writing by the directors or the writers.
Couldn't you say it's no different than what Carol did back in season 4 of The Walking Dead when she killed Kevin and David or whoever, or Sarah and David, the people at the prison when they were sick and she figured, hey, they're going to die and they're going to turn, let me kill them?
I can see that. And that's what I'm saying, but Carol did it correctly.
Oh, she actually killed them.
She actually killed them.
Okay. Well, I think since this was Chris's first real kill, he's only going to get better at it.
Chris been killing everybody. I'm scared to watch the show.
Yeah, I mean, no, but I think he's going to get better at it, which is, I'm not saying it's a good thing, but Chris is already, like, at season 3 level, you know?
He's season 4 level.
Yeah.
Let's bump him up.
Okay, bump him up to kill, season 4.
Since his last kill.
Now, Daniel's quick thinking of not putting Reed out, I love that. He's like, hold on, we can use this to our advantage. I really love that.
Yeah.
I even love when they let Reed go. Dead zombie Reed, and he starts killing his brother. I was like, I love that whole scene right there.
That scene was cool. But I'm surprised his brother hear him going.
Or like, why are you moving so much, dude? Because like the whole time when he's in the boat, he was moving.
Yeah.
And then that's
how. Did they give you crack on the boat? What'd they give you over there?
But you know what? They probably thought like, oh, Reed is pissed off and he's trying to wiggle out of his chains or whatever. Like, that's probably what they were thinking.
Yeah, maybe.
But I did love the scene. I like how they played it out.
Yeah.
And then even Travis. I mean, this whole scene was good. Travis headbutting the guy and then beating his ass. I mean, even Travis has gone a long way from last season to where he is today.
Right. I mean, I guess we really get to know Travis now. Because Travis might have always been a badass.
I know.
Because usually when you see a guy that has a family, he's divorced. But you see him nice with his new wife.
Yeah.
You can only assume how, you know, like, why is this guy, why did he get divorced? You know, this is a good guy.
Yeah.
But he, you know, he made a big headbutt his
ex-wife.
Yeah, that's not funny. That's not funny. I'm sorry.
And no shade to the divorcees.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's nothing funny about domestic violence.
Yeah, that is true. There's nothing funny about domestic
violence.
But
he was a new with the headbutt.
He's been headbutting people
for years.
Okay. Well, who knows? Travis may have had a past before. Like, he might have been a reckless teenager or something like that, but I've never got the idea that, like, there was domestic violence in the relationship. I kind of just got the idea that.
I was joking. Yeah, I don't think that. But Travis, I mean, he was professional with a headbutt.
All right, and that's all for our likes. And now onto our dislikes. And we only had one to two of them, I believe.
I had like five dislikes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, maybe not five, probably three.
All right. Well, we'll start it off with Alex asking for Travis instead of Strand.
That was a big dislike.
Yeah. Because when she came up and confronted Travis and was like, I told them about the Abigail, which I did like her saying, I told them about Abigail.
Right.
That clarified things. But when she's like, and I asked for you.
Personally,
we're like, why? Like,
no, we were like, what the fuck? Not why.
Yeah, like Strand's the one that cut the rope. He's the one that said, no, you couldn't come on.
Actually, Travis is the reason that she was towed along anyway.
Yeah, he's like, at least let's do that.
Yeah, let's do this.
Rather than nothing.
He said, let's give him water. Let's give him food.
Right.
So why would she ask for him personally?
It's like, if anybody, you should have asked for Strand.
I mean, was the food bad?
Right. Was the water old? I mean, come on.
So I didn't like that.
And I know her reasoning was like, you know, you could have did the right thing, but you chose to do the other.
Actually, I agree with her on that. Because you see Daniel didn't say anything. Other people didn't say nothing. If they disagree, we don't know. If they agree, we don't know.
Alicia was saying this is wrong.
Well, yeah, Alicia. Alicia said this is wrong. You know, by him speaking up, he actually had a viewpoint. Either agree or disagree. And actually, he agreed with Strand. We should let him on a boat, but we could tag him along. So I agree with her on that. If he was smart, he wouldn't have said nothing.
Right. And what other dislikes did you have?
My next dislike is Chris. When Chris was in the room with Reed, he seemed unfazed by everything Reed was throwing at him. Like he said, your sister, y'all look, everything. But it seems later on in the episode, you know, once Daniel told him to guard the room, don't leave it. Everything that Reed said seemed like it got to Chris. Chris was ready to fight then. And I was like, hold up. You were just cool a second ago. Reed said something like some hardcore shit to you earlier. But this is what make you mad right here? I don't like how they switch his character up. I think if he was unfazed in the room, he should have been unfazed in the hallway. That's just what I think about it.
Well, I do wonder if Reed's words were going to come back to Chris later. Because he was like, you don't look like your mom. You know, and I don't know what he said about the dad, but he's like, that's definitely not your mom.
Yeah, you don't look like your sister.
You don't look like your sister.
You don't like your dad's wife.
Yeah, like, they're going to always choose blood over you. And he tried, even though Travis is his blood.
Right.
And then after he did that, I was so scared Madison was going to yell at him, but she didn't. She hugged him and she consoled him. But I have a feeling within an episode or two, she's probably going to say something that he doesn't like, and he's going to think back to what Reed said and take it to a whole level. Like, Chris
going to have a trigger word.
Yes. Chris could end up being dangerous. He could end up being
damn serial killer.
You know, I mean, I think he's a Shane in training, and that's what I'm worried about because he's such a young kid, and I can only imagine what that would do to Travis. Could we lose both characters? Could we lose one?
I'm going to take it a step further. I think he's a governor in training.
Oh.
Because the governor wasn't always a bad guy. He had a family. I guess the power got to his head. In this case, it's killing. Chris knew that he could kill anybody. So right now, that's power. That now he'll feel like he has all the power. Now he's stepping up to the next level and try to take some shit over.
We'll see.
He gonna tell Strand, hey, this is my boat. I'm the captain.
I'm the captain of the ship now.
Another dislike I have, and I'm going to go back to Alex. How was she able to walk the boat so freely? You see, they gave Alicia a job right away. Right away, she had a job. She had something to do. And it's like, once Alex gave it to Abigail, she was like, it's cool. Like, this is her boat now.
Right.
I mean, for the life of me, I can't understand that.
Okay, why she had so much freedom so close, so immediately after joining that team.
Right.
Okay.
But I thought I had more than that, but I guess that's it.
All right, and we would love to hear from you guys. Send us an email, dead@theverdictsin.com, or you can also write us on Twitter @theverdictsin or facebook.com/verdictsin, and we'll discuss your comments there as well.
Right, because we need feedback about Alex. We need feedback about Johnny Depp.
Depp 1, 2, and 3.
1, 2, 3.
And for our award and prediction now, I ain't fearing shit this week. I'm going to have to give it to Daniel. He played it smart. He played it cool.
Okay.
He was good.
Yeah, he was good this episode.
Who do you give it to?
I'm going to have to give it to Reed. And the reason is Reed knew he was dead already. He had a knife cut in him. I mean, the little sword or whatever. Reed should have just shut the fuck up.
Right.
And instead, he talk, think he's going to talk his way out of it. And that guy ain't fearing shit.
Right. I mean, he even had the nerve to tell Daniel, don't touch me. I'll get help when I get back home. Like, dude. Right.
He should have been fearing.
Right. Like, why are you talking all this shit here?
Right.
Let him help you if he's going to help you. All right. Most likely to die. I'm going to continue sticking with Ophelia. I mean, she didn't really mention her bruise this time, but
I think it's a rat with her.
Yeah. They haven't given her.
Not a rat with she's about to die. I think that maybe Nick gave her the medication.
Oh, you think she's better now?
She seemed like it.
Okay, because, yeah, didn't mention anything.
They didn't show it. They mentioned it. In fact, she was trying to clean somebody else's wound up this week.
I was just going to say, who was she trying to clean up? Because she's like, be careful. You don't want to get infection.
Daniel.
Okay.
Her father.
Oh, we don't want him to die. All right. Well, I'll stick with Ophelia until they show me that someone else may die.
Okay.
And who do you think most likely is going to die?
I'm going to give most likely to die to Alicia. I think Jack's going to kill her. I think he's just so much in love when he finally catch up with them. Probably next week, since everything is moving so fast, he's gonna be so much in love with her that he's just gonna kill her. You know how they go, how the movies go. Like, oh, they start crying or whatever. Then he just stab her. Then he can't believe he did it and start crying some more.
You know, I'm gonna piggyback off that theory with saying that he'll probably try to kill her, and then Alex will save her because Alicia was the only one that was out for her, and that's how Alex gets back in the group. Because Alex and Jack should still be together if they're on that boat together.
Right. Okay.
All right. Well, this is it, you guys. We will be back next week with an all new full recap. We would love to hear from you, dead@theverdictsin.com. And we would also appreciate a rating and review on iTunes. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, be sure to take a minute out of your time, out of your day, and just leave us a rating and review. We really appreciate it. And make sure you check out all of our other podcasts. We have Game of Thrones. We also have the Verdicts In feed, where we do just different various podcasts on that feed.
Everything.
And Wayward Pines is starting in about a week and a half.
Excellent show.
Excellent show. We'll be podcasting on that again. So hit us up. Look for all of our stuff. The Verdicts In. Just type it in. Whatever podcast player you use, you should be able to find us that way. Until then, I'm Nicole.
I'm Gary.
Good night.
Good night.